You know, it's just like, you ever see the guys that want to lose weight, or the ladies that want to lose weight, and they got a picture of them when they were like younger, then they put it on the refrigerator. And they just look at that picture every day. Now, yesterday, I don't know where these pictures came from, but I was going on my dining room table when I was in college. My wife and I, we were in Chicago visiting my brother, and they took pictures of us. And I was sitting there, and I was sitting down, and I had a short shirt on. Man, I didn't have any gut, man. there was no gut. I mean, I was sitting there, and it was like, man, go ahead with your bad self. Then my arms, man, they was like, I looked, I said, yeah. They say this cat Bill is a bad boy. I said, you know what, I'm going to get that picture. I'm going to put that picture on my refrigerator. And every day when I get up and I'm tempted to go in there and fix one of them greasy meals, I'm going to see that picture. And that's going to remind me, look, that's what I'm working for. That's what I'm working for right there. That's what I'm trying to get at right there.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program. The teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Tonight, we will conclude our series entitled, Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary, which is based on 1 Corinthians 6 chapter, verse 19 through 20. So please, join us for the conclusion of Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary.
Saw how fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house. They bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. The glory of the Lord, that whenever the temple was ready to be presented to God, God came down and he filled it. Now I was thinking, you know, what would be a good way to kind of emblaze on people's mind this thing of the glory of God? So this is what I want to do. You know, as you think about the glory of God coming down upon people and residing upon you, God's glory coming on you, the glory of God settling on you. And as you walk around, God's glory, because you are that clean vessel and you are walking around and you don't have the world's bling bling, but you got God's blingage. You are flashing for God because you are walking in the power of God, in the glory of God. That when you are that clean vessel, that when you have been decontaminated, when you have been dedicated, and when you have been designed, that the glory of the Lord will come and rest on you. And as you look at this whole idea, the glory of the Lord should fill every believer. This is not just for the pastor or the deacons. This is not for church leaders. But the glory of God is to rest upon every individual. Look at your notes on the back. The glory of the Lord shall fill every believer. We see the reflection of glory, the removal of glory, and the return to glory. God, first of all, he created us in glory, and he crowned us with glory. That when we were created, when Adam was created, he had a glory like none other. Mentally, Adam had the glory of the Lord on his life. Because can you imagine what it must have been like to sit down and name all the animals? But you know, that's not the biggest thing. But the biggest thing is then to remember what you called each one. You know, maybe that's why George Foreman called all his kids George. But you know, just to think about that, think of the mental capacity that Adam must have had to be able to do that. He was created in the glory of God. Morally, just think. He had no concept of what it was like to sin, that he was created apart from sin, that he wasn't tainted at all with sin. He had the glory of God upon his life. Socially, he wasn't in bad relationships. He didn't have to deal with knuckleheads because him and his wife were on the same accord. The glory of God rested upon their relationship. And authoritatively, he gave man the authority to reign over all of the creation. And then even from a spiritual standpoint, do you know that God came down and walked with Adam in the cool of the day? So Adam was created in glory. He had the glory of God upon his life. He reflected God's glory. And not only that, but he was crowned with glory. Psalm 8, turn with me there. Psalm 8. Psalm 8 in verse 5. For thou hast made him, speaking of man, a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. You were created in glory, and you were crowned with glory. Well, what does that mean, we've been crowned with glory? Well, it goes on to tell us that thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. Adam had dominion over God's creation. He was created in glory. He was crowned with glory. But you know what happened? The glory was removed. That when Adam sinned, that he lost the glory, that glory that God gave him, and now his mental capacities, even though he was still intelligent, became corrupted by sin. That his social, just look at Cain and Abel. Socially, look what happened. Right there, you see differences, you see disagreements, and then you see killing. So that was corrupted. His authority. Now you go out and try to take authority over, go into the jungle and try to take authority over a lion. See what happens. Or go up into the Smoky Mountains and go face to face with a bear and say, look, God created me in glory, and I'm going to take authority over you right now. Just like the guy said, you know, he was running from the bear, and the bear was chasing him. And he said, well, I can't get away from this bear. So he sat down and began to pray. And as he was praying, he looked up, and the bear was kneeling, and the bear was praying. And he said, I'm praying that God would deliver me from you, the bear. He asked the bear, what are you praying for? He said, I'm thanking God for this meal. So, so you try to take dominion. See, so we Adam lost the glory. He no longer, now we'll get it back at some point in the future, but right now the glory in its fullness and its essence has been lost. And then even the results of the glory, that we are laboring under a curse. But let me get back to the third column, because that deals with our return to glory. Our return to glory. You see, as best as we can now in this flesh, there was a man named Jesus Christ who came, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again so that we might return to glory. And so we can be a clean vessel for God now. And as much as possible, we can have the glory of God residing upon us. The glory, there's nothing more that I want than the glory of God. That, you know, some people, you know, they are a bad testimony for the glory of God. Woe is me. Woe is me. As I said before, look like the face on the iodine bottle. You know, skull and crossbones, bulldog baptized in lemon juice. You know, just. You're supposed to be the glory of God. You know, there should be a certain radiance about you. I'm not saying that you got to walk around all the time, you know, with a big cheesy chessy cat grin on your face. I'm not saying that. But, you know, there ought to be the glory of the Lord emanating from your spirit. You know, just bless my heart to watch the deaf ministry this morning as they stood up here and as they ministered for God, and they had the glory of God radiating from them. Man, what a powerful testimony. Or to see the choir or musicians stand up here and sing and play for the glory of God and just let the glory of God emanate from them. That's what this thing is all about. And Christ came to return us to the glory that was lost. Four scriptures and then I'm done. John 17. In verse 5, Jesus said, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word." Then look at verse 22. "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Jesus said that he gave the glory that God had given him to the disciples. That here were these disciples that followed him. And Jesus said that this same glory, Lord, the same ability to go and minister to those who are hurting. Lord, the same ability to go forth and serve you. The same ability to go forth and just do the work of God. I give this glory to them. And I believe indirectly, Jesus was also talking to us. That he has given us this glory. And that the glory of God resides upon us. That whenever we do a work in the name of God, that we are glorifying God. That, it, you know, when, praise God, we're able to help the church down there in the Gulf Coast. You know, God is glorified. God is lifted up. That when you do something for the Lord, you are bringing honor and glory to God. Oh, there ought to be a gold coat that you can wear. You ought to be able to get God's bling bling and wear God's bling bling around. Not to show off and not to shine and not to radiate in the flesh. But there's a radiation and a glow that comes from you because you are emanating with the glory of God. Jesus said that he passed it down onto you, God's glory. That's what I call pre-authorized glory, that God has given it to us through Jesus Christ. The second kind of glory that I want to tell you about is called predestined glory. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also glorified. And those who he, justified. And those who he justified, them he also glorified." There's a process of glorification that's working in you. My brothers and sisters, you have been predestined for glory. That you may have, as the song said, "I came to Jesus as I was weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad." You might have came to God weary, worn, and sad, but guess what? You are predestined for glory. You are on your way to the big time. You might not have ever sung in front of a stadium full of people. You might not have played sports in front of thousands of people. You might not have been that individual who received all the attention. But let me tell you something. You are predestined for glory. God has predestined you for glory. And I believe that this glory is along two lines. Yeah, there is one at a sense in which we will be glorified in heaven forever and ever and ever. We will be without sin. We will be without any defilement of the flesh. We will live forever and ever. That's the ultimate glorification. But even in this life, we receive glorification, that God has glorified us. And the only way that we can walk in this glory is to be that tabernacle, is to be that tent that has been designed, dedicated, and decontaminated for God to take up residence in us and to live through us. You've been predestined for glory. We've been prepared for glory. Turn over one page to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 20. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that should reply against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endure with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had before prepared unto glory? You've been prepared unto glory. God, when he shaped you, when like a potter, like the shaping of a pot, that you take that clay and all it is a lump of clay, and the potter works with that clay and shapes that clay and molds that clay and then gets it to the place where the form and the image is what they want, and then they paint little designs on it, and man, it's just one of the most beautiful things that you ever want to see. So God has taken us with one objective in mind. He has created us, he has shaped us, he has molded us, and he has painted us all to be his glory. You see that pot upon the shelf sitting there. I know my in-laws, they do pottery. And man, just some people come from all over the country to see their pottery and to buy their pottery. I mean, it's just some of the most beautiful stuff that you ever want to see. And people come, and my brother-in-law, whenever he does a painting or pottery or anything of that nature, and they have this big Indian market, man, they will show up 2 hours before it opens, and they will stand in line to pay thousands of dollars for a piece of his pottery or for one of his paintings, thousands of dollars. And he'll have it all lined up there, and they'll be looking at it, and they'll see that piece, and they'll wait in line in order to buy it. You know what? The same way God has shaped us and molded us, he has made us a beautiful piece of pottery. He has made us that display. God puts us on display. And God says, look, there goes my glory. There goes my glory right there. My glory is reflected in Bill Glaze. My glory is reflected in Russell Boston. My glory is seen in the saints of God. That's why I created them. I created them for my glory. Are you reflecting the glory of God? You see, sometimes we get in the way. We let our sin get in the way, and God can't shine through us in all of his glory. And so people look at us and they say, if that's what salvation is all about, then I don't want any of that. You know, if that's what it looks like to be saved, I don't want that. See, we've been pre-authorized for glory. We've been predestined for glory. We've been prepared for glory. And then let me close with this right here. We've been predisposed to glory. That when you got saved, God put it in you so that the ultimate outworking through you would end up in glory. Look at 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians 3 and verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God says that when we look at his image and we see his image and we see his glory, that if we will focus on that, that if we reflect on that, that we are being transformed into the image of his glory. You know, it's just like, you ever see the guys that want to lose weight, or the ladies that want to lose weight, and they got a picture of them when they were like younger, then they put it on the refrigerator. And they just look at that picture every day. Yesterday, I don't know where these pictures came from, but I was going on my dining room table when I was in college. My wife and I, we were in Chicago visiting my brother, and they took pictures of us. And I was sitting there, and I was sitting down, and I had a short shirt on. Man, I didn't have any gut, man. there was no gut. I mean, I was sitting there, and it was like, man, go ahead with your bad self. Then my arms, man, they was like, I looked, I said, yeah. They say this cat Bill is a bad boy. I said, you know what, I'm going to get that picture. I'm going to put that picture on my refrigerator. And every day when I get up and I'm tempted to go in there and fix one of them greasy meals, I'm going to see that picture. And that's going to remind me, look, that's what I'm working for. That's what I'm working for right there. That's what I'm trying to get at right there. And you know, it's the same way. Man, we gotta look into God's glory. We gotta look into the glory of God every day through spending time with Him, prayer, Bible study, fellowship, singing the songs of God. We gotta look in His image, at His image every day and say, look, that's what I'm working for right there. That's the image that I'm trying to get after right there. From glory to glory. I've been predisposed to glory. And if we will cleanse ourselves, man, the glory of God will reside on us. You know, I like Brother Andy Lane. You know, you ask Brother Andy, what's going on, Andy? Somebody tell me what he say. Nothing but the best. Nothing but the best. You know, there's must be some glory in there somewhere. Some kind of glory. How can you be that happy all the time, man? You know, when you got the glory of God on you, in you, man, even when circumstances are on you, the glory will still, you know, you can't keep it in. If you're a clean vessel, it don't make any difference what you're going through. If you're a clean vessel and the glory of God is residing upon you, it don't make any difference because it's just going to be like this jacket. It's just going to get all on the outside of you. It's just going to wrap around you. I can't even tie. I better not go there, huh? See, that's why I got that picture up on my refrigerator. I'm going to put that picture up. But that the glory of God will just be in you and on you and wrap around you. And as I close, I pray that none of us would be like the Israelites. Whenever the Philistines came in and waged war against the Israelites, and this is at the last note on the bottom of your page, when the Philistines came in and they waged war against the Israelites and they defeated the Israelites and they took the Ark of the Covenant, and that was the glory of Israel, the Ark of the Covenant. And when they took the Ark of the Covenant, Eli's daughter-in-law was about ready to give birth to a grandson. And she gave birth to the child, and the Philistines, she heard, had taken the Ark of the Covenant away. And they said, what do you want to name this son? And she said, name him Ichabod. Why do you want to name him Ichabod? Because Ichabod means the glory of the Lord has departed. And I pray that that would not be said about any child of God, that the glory of God has departed off of your life. Man, I pray that we could all walk and rest in the glory of God. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you, so that your glory might fill my life.
Thank you for joining us on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. I hope this message was a blessing to you. Tune in next time as we begin a two-part series on fasting. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outlines of tonight's teaching, Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary, Part 2, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 1-877-831-5060 and request, Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary, Part 2, or program number 050925. Once again, that's 1-877-831-5060 and request, Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary, Part 2, or program number 050925. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program at 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Are you looking for a church home? We would love to have you come and visit us at Bethany Baptist Church. Our services begin at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. You can call the church for directions at 1-877-831-5060. The title of this broadcast, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews, the 6th chapter and the 19th verse, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.